last week, we covered lessons 4, 5, and 6. And there we begin the second theme, actually, the ontology of Jivatma. That means the knowledge of the jivas, or the living entities, how they are also controlled by both Paramatma and also by Krishna's external potency, Maya. So here we learned in last week's lessons basically the internal characteristics, intrinsic characteristics of jivas. There are 21 characteristics, and these were actually described in the Padma Purana also. So Jamatar Muni, basically Jiva Goswami, quotes both. There are 4 verses from Padma Purana, and the same 4 verses actually basically rephrased, posed by Jamatar Muni, who is actually coming from Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, the follower of Ramanujacharya. He's very well respected, actually. So Jamatar Muni basically reproduced those 4 verses of Padma Purana. So question arises, why did Jiva Goswami specify Jamatar Muni? You know, it turns out it's possibly because Jamatar Muni gave 3 more characteristics, actually, that are not covered in Padma Purana. So among the 21 characteristics, of course, we came through basic things that Jiva has nothing to do with the bodily platform. Like, he is not Deva, that means he is not demigods, he is not humans, he is not non-humans, plants, animals, and so on, like that. He is not prana, and mind, buddhi, and so on, like that. You know? And then he is the immutable, he's atomic in size, he's self-awareness, and so on, like that. But the basic 3 special characteristics that Jamatar Muni really gives, that is important to remember here, that the jivas are the all-knower. That means they are self-aware of himself, self-awareness, knower. And then he is also a doer. And third thing, that he is an enjoyer also. There is a propensity for self-enjoyment. So that is there, because it's part and parcel of Paramatma. So it's no wonder there. Yeah. So we covered that, and Jiva Goswami goes in detail discussing each of those 21 characteristics, and then gives the basis based on Srimad Bhagavatam verses, actually. No? So that was very interesting. What I've decided to basically, in order to review, best way to do it is that quizzes that I give you. Remember? The quizzes really is a quick way of reviewing what we covered. And also beforehand, if you solve the quizzes, it will really help you to understand the actual class. You know? So here's the first question I gave you. What is the difference between Atma and Jiva that Jiva Goswami gives? Excuse me. I forgot to turn on this recording. So we are covering, we are reviewing what we covered last week, lessons 4 through 6, in the text 19 to 37. And the quizzes. The first question that I gave you was, what is the difference between Atma and Jiva? They both look same. Basically, is the pure soul, you know, that is unbound, unconditioned. Whereas Jiva is the embodied soul, embodied Adi accepts because of karma the material body. So he is immediately conditioned and bound by the three modes of material nature. So that's the basic difference. Second question was, what are the three characteristics of the Jiva mentioned explicitly by Jamatar Muni? And that those I told you about, that is not given in the Padma Purana. One, he is the self-aware, so he's a knowledge, he's a knower, and second, that he is the doer. Third, he is the enjoyer. And third question, how do Mayavadis interpret the analogy of rope being mistaken as snake in semi-darkness with Maya's two subcategory potences? So, Brahman, what Mayavadis say, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So they said that there is no Jiva or Paramatma, they are one and the same. When Paramatma comes under the influence of the avidya potency of Maya, so Maya has a two potency, two kinds of potency. We are going to learn in great detail in just 2 weeks actually. That is the really heart of Paramatma Sandarbha. Maya has two kind of potency. One is Avaran Shakti. Avaran means covering potency. So it covers the jnana. Like I told you, that one of the characteristics that he is the knower, self-aware. So Maya immediately wants that knowledge by avidya. So vidya or jnana is covered by ajnana, you know. And the second thing Maya does, that is called vikshepa shakti, means it produces, it projects another thing. Like here, if you see a rope you know, dangling on a branch of a tree in a semi-darkness, it seems like it simulates that there is a snake hanging on the branch of the tree. So the rope, the real, that is the reality, is covered by Maya's Avaran Shakti. And snake is projected, the image of snake is projected by the three modes of material nature. Now, just like I gave you the example of a person who goes to a bar and start drinking. So what Maya does, so actually the drink is covers his intelligence to recognize, to differentiate between what is good and what is not good. So he is not being able to use the normal intelligence that he already has. Because when he starts drinking, you know, he becomes intoxicated. So that's the first thing that happens. And then the beautiful, scantily clad, a beautiful, a seductive woman appears. And he immediately becomes completely disillusioned, you know. So that's, so Maya projects that, you know. So here, so what now Mayavadi says, the Brahman, when it's covered by the avidya potency of Maya, then he becomes a Jiva, you know, that is Upadhi. You know. And same Jiva, when attains Brahman realization, then it becomes Paramatma. That's what they are saying. You know. So basically, no difference. You know. So how does, in this particular analogy, you know, rope versus snake analogy, so first one covers, the Avaran Shakti covers the knowledge of the Jiva by Jiva Maya, and the Guna Maya, that's the second potency of Maya, that projects the image of snake. The fourth question, what are the two strategies by Vaishnava schools counter or refute the Mayavadi interpretation of the rope versus snake analogy? What is wrong in that kind of thinking, you know? that notion. So what Vaishnava school does that it uses logic alone or logic combined with Shanda Pramana, the Vedic evidence, you know. So that's how Jiva Goswami actually refutes the Mayavadi philosophy. 5th question. What are the three conditional states of the intellect, buddhi, caused by the three modes of material nature? And that's very, very interesting, actually. Example, it has a lot of practical ramifications, actually. Later on, I will tell you, because we are going to come revisit these three conditional states of mind, of buddhi. You know? One is the jagrata, or the wakefulness. Second one state, so wakefulness is to the mode of due to the mode of goodness, sattva-guna. And the dream state is the influence of the rajoguna, mode of passion. And the deep sleep is the influence of the mode of ignorance, tamoguna. You know. So what happens when we are fully awake? Then we are aware of our bodily senses. You know. And he is completely aware of everything. So jiva is basically a witness. You know, all three states. So jiva being the conscious entity, as we learned, one of the 21 characters, that he is conscious. You know, self-aware. You know, so he knows that. So in a deep sleep, the connection between body, senses and this jiva is completely lost, you know. Jiva being consciously, there is witness of the three states of buddhi or intellect in the wakeful state, you know. In the deep sleep, it doesn't. In a dream state, it is totally unaware of the gross body, but because the consciousness, he is aware of that, you know. So mind undergoes this modification according to these three states. 6th question. What are the statuses of the gross and subtle bodies respectively in these three conditional states? Just as I said, in the deep sleep, both gross and subtle bodies are inactive. They are not contact. You know? Unlike the wakefulness, in the dream state, one is not aware of the gross body, but consciousness remains connected still to the internal faculties. 7th question. So in this regard, what is the 4th state? I just told you. Jiva is completely transcendental. These three states. He is just merely watching. He is witnessing all this happening. You know? Even during the deep sleep. Because deep sleep, what happens? When we slept nicely, then we wake up, we are able to recall that I slept nicely. That itself tells you that he witnessed, you know, that state, even in the deep sleep. You know. So that 4th state, transcendental state, is called Turiya state. Turiya means the very Sanskrit word Turiya. Tur means the 4th state. And the Supreme Lord is also, Paramatma is also in the 4th state, of course. 8th question. How does Maya cover the Jiva's inherent cognitive potency? Jiva has this inherent intrinsic awareness capacity, nor he is cognitive, he is aware, self-aware of himself and surroundings. So, and how does that happen, you know? That is because of his, how does Maya cover that, you know? It is because Maya's inconceivable potency. Maya has this special potency by which the Avaran Shakti and Vikshepa Shakti, it does that. She does that. So under its conditional state, Jiva's jnana is covered by ajnana, avidya. Even the Jiva has the inherent cognitive potency. So that gives a little hope also. That even though Maya covers, but we can become free from Maya's influence and regain our jnana. You know. In fact, that one of the words we are going to discuss today. The self-awareness capacity does not extend to the point of true self-knowledge or remembrance of the Supreme Lord. So that's what it is actually. Self-awareness capacity does not extend to the point of true self-knowledge or remembrance of the Supreme Lord. So that Maya makes us forget about Krishna. And Maya exploits this weakness of the jiva. In that example we saw, King Puranjana, that's an allegorical story Narada tells to King Prachin Parishadana. So such transcendental knowledge is covered by ignorance. And two analogies between that context. Sugar, which is sweet, but if it's mixed with mud, then it will not taste sweet anymore because of the dilution factor. But the natural capacity of sugar, the sweetness capacity, is not lost. In the same way, another example is a light bulb. Light bulb may be covered by an opaque screen. The bulb will not have lost its luminosity, even if very little light can be seen. So if you draw a curtain behind the light bulb, you cannot see the light. But that doesn't mean the light has lost its luminosity. Because when the curtain is removed, you can see that. Same way Maya covers our knowledge. As long as Maya's truth is there, Maya's cover is removed, we can regain. Because we have this natural capacity, inherent capacity to know. Right? Question 9. Same, the allegorical story of King Puranjana. How do we understand the nature of the jiva, the bondage of the body? The jiva is compared to King Puranjana, whereas his condition and intellect is likened to his queen Puranjana. So his buddhi is his queen, that elaborate story says. So as a king, the jiva has the inherent power to control the rule, control or rule, but because he is, he behaves like a husband, fully under the control of his queen, his wife, and wife knows that weakness, and she fully exploits him. The Maya also knows our weakness. And she fully exploits that, Even though we have capacity to regain that control of ourselves, So that is really nice to know about that. Tenth question. How can the jiva be called self-luminous since it must depend upon Paramatma? In this context, how does Jiva Goswami explain the sun being self-luminous? And yet to see the sun we need our eyes. This is because the jiva is an integral part or separate entity from Paramatma. In that fact, we are going to see oneness and simultaneous oneness and difference in jiva and Paramatma. Although the sun is an object of the eye's perception, it does not need the light of another sun to see. Question 11. What are the two types of eye consciousness, Aham Tattva? One is the desirable, true eye consciousness, Aham Tattva, and another one is not. So one is based on a spiritual consciousness that I am spirit soul, Aham Brahmasmi. That is the true Aham Tattva, desirable. But when it is based on bodily conception of life, that this is my car, is my house, I am the owner, I am so and so, I am the doctor, I am the scientist, I am a lawyer, and so on like that. That is completely based on bodily consciousness. So that Aham Tattva, that I consciousness is not desirable. Again, we are going to revisit this I consciousness in subsequent chapters also. Okay, 12th question. By what understanding of an important characteristic of the jiva we can effectively give up our natural tendency of envy, hatred, exploitation of others? And this is the practical utility of this knowledge. How can we avoid that, Sometimes we feel very envious of others, for no reason we start beginning hate someone, you know, and that's not a desirable quality, you know. How do we get around that, you know? And that is again based on this I consciousness, the true I consciousness, true Aham Tattva. If we all know the great soul and we are individual soul, we all have individuality, then we won't feel that kind of difference. So there is a separate jiva in each body. For all jivas are the same by nature. By constitutively, we are all part and parcel of Krishna. You know? So if we know then how can we have envy? You know? The other person is also part and parcel of the Lord, Supreme Lord. So naturally, the enviness is not there. Question 13. If the jiva is the sole source of consciousness in the body, and yet it's atomic in size, how does it propagate its consciousness throughout the body? It's, first of all, it's very atomic in size. It's located in a particular part of the body, that's in the heart. How can the entire body become conscious? So how do we explain that? Should it not affect only that part of the body which is present? No. It's like a light bulb. If you situate a light bulb in one corner of the room, and yet it will illuminate the entire room. Same is true for the sun also, you know. Which will, although one illuminates the entire universe. Last 14th question. How can the jiva be accepted as atomic and yet Krishna refers to sarvagata, all pervading? That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 2nd chapter, 24th verse, sarvagata. So it does not necessarily mean that the jiva is all pervading. But since it is situated within Paramatma, because it is an integrated part of Paramatma, who is all pervading? Paramatma is all pervading. It's everyone's atma, everywhere is there, Paramatma. Even in every atom of the universe. You know? So it's dependent upon him. The jiva is also referred to as all pervading in that way. You know? Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti actually explains sarvagata also means that jivas enters into the all varied forms of life according to their karmas. Different jivas. You know? So you see that it can help you if you solve this squeezes very nicely. Helps you remember the entire class. And before, if you know that, then it will also help you in the class itself. So today we will cover. We will actually, if Krishna permits, what's the time? Yes. We will cover lesson 7, 8, and 9. So that way we will conclude the theme 2. And next week, I have decided the whole class next week, we will devote in reviewing both theme 1 and theme 2. So that means lesson 1 through 9 and text 1 through 47. So today we'll cover text 38 to 47. So the idea made here, the jiva is both same as Paramatma, oneness with Paramatma, as well as there is a distinct, both we see simultaneously. So how does it same as Paramatma in characteristics? So here Jiva Goswami begins with this verse where Krishna instructs Navitkanta Udavagi. Ekasyeva mama amsha jivasyeva mahamate bandho asya avidya adir vidyaya cha tat itara. So Krishna addressing Udava as a mahamate, a greatly intelligent being, you know. And Uddhava was a really very, very intelligent person. So here, itara means actually alternative. You know? So here he says, Krishna says, jivas are my own amsha, my own part and parcel. You know, and then they are also bandho. Bandho means in bondage. They're bound by what? Avidya, by the ignorance of Maya, Maya's ignorance potency. However, tatra itara, itara means alternatively. Alternately, this bondage, what is the alternative or opposite alternative to bondage? Opposite to bondage is liberation, right? So they can be liberated by attainment of vidya, vidyaya. So by attainment of vidya, then he can become free. So that is the verse Krishna says, that the living entity is my amsha, my part and parcel. You know, I think one of the quiz question is that here Krishna very clearly says, but Jiva Goswami says no, actually he is the part of Paramatma. So how is that? But we already know Paramatma is also an expansion of Krishna. You know, so if we are part and parcel of Paramatma, and Paramatma being the part and parcel of Krishna, so A is equal to B and B is equal to C, so A must be equal to C. You know, so that is where. So it is one and the same. In fact, individual soul, in Sanskrit it's called Vyasti. Vyasti means individual soul. Whereas aggregate of all the souls is called Samasti. So Paramatma is an aggregate of all the souls in the universe. And in fact, Krishna wears Kausha jewel around his neck, is actually representative of this Samasti, the aggregate of all the souls, Paramatma. And Paramatma is the potency of the Lord. And Jivatma is the Tatastha Shakti. Excuse me. So, next part. So in this verse, very clearly we see Krishna says that Jiva is part of Maya and Paramatma is his potency. So that way, Jiva and Paramatma are one. It's a oneness actually is there, qualitative. Next one. So here we are going to see in 39, 40, 41 this oneness. And this is the verse. Actually, when I PowerPoint I sent you, this PowerPoint number 7 got a little bit misplaced now. So that is the 7th slide here, number 2. So here is another verse, Jiva Goswami quotes, Aham Bhavan na Anya, Anyas Thvam Thvam Eva Aham Vichaksha Bho, Na Nau Pashyati Kavayash, Chidram Jati Managapi. So Paramatma in the guise of a Brahman. So here, this particular verse was spoken by a Brahmana. In the, remember the allegorical story of King Puranjana? So King Puranjana, in the next life, he came as a woman, you know, and her husband died. So she was lamenting so much so that a Brahmana along. Actually, the Brahman is the Paramatma. So Brahmana is instructing the Jiva here, King Puranjana, that I am you and you are me. You are no other than me. So there is no difference between you and me. More decisively, that you are the same as I. The wise, the least difference between us. So clearly, said, the verse very clearly says, Paramatma says that I am you and you me. So Paramatma and Jiva is one and the same in that sense. So here, cause and effect. Now, Srila Jiva Goswami talks in terms of cause and effect. So cause and effect share a relation of difference as well, same as difference. So in other words, the effect is usually is already there in the cause. Whenever there's a cause, there's always an effect. So if in fact we are going to also revisit this issue also in subsequent chapters in a more detailed way. So I'm here to suffice us to know the cause and effect, they look about the same, but then there's a subtle difference also. So effect cannot be there if there's no cause. So effect is there in a subtle way hidden within the cause itself. So oneness is there according to the speaker's intent here. Because both oneness and difference is there, why it is so? So Jiva Goswami is going to that it's because of the way which speaker talks about. Usually the Brahma Jnanis, the Brahman Jnanis and the Brahmavadis, they don't see difference between Jnana, in a Jiva and Paramatma. So they subscribe to the notion of oneness based on their argument. So there is no difference. That's how they interpret, but for devotee, it's not like that. Devotees see the different, distinct difference. Otherwise, there is no question of devotion. Devotion means they know that they are subordinate souls, subordinate part and parcel of the Supreme. And that's how they worship the Supreme, so they clearly see. So it depends upon who speaks that. So Jnanis, for them it's oneness, for the devotees it's the difference between Jiva and Paramatma. So Jiva Goswami refutes that notion about no difference between Jiva and Paramatma. He offers an alternate explanation based on the oneness of cause and effect in that sense. Then also he accepts the little difference also, as we'll just see in a moment. Next one, please. So we are seeing the supporting evidence from Srimad Bhagavatam, quoted by Srila Jiva Goswami, as Jiva and Paramatma are one, there's a oneness between them, no difference. Next PowerPoint. It's a very good audience, that's good. 18. I'm very, very encouraged by that. I hope that every week is like that. Next PowerPoint here, we'll see. Yes, text 41. So that was text 40 actually. So 41, again, in terms of interpretation of cause and effect. So this is the verse actually, 11th canto. This is so, again, Krishna instructs Uddhava. Paraspara anupraveshat tattvanam purusharpa. So he addresses Uddhava. Before, remember, he said Mahamate. He is a Purusharva, means he is the best among all men. Paurva aparya prasangam akhyana yata vaktutva vivakshitam. O best among men, because subtle and gross element, paraspar anupravesha, they enter in each other. Gross and subtle elements, they basically enter each other, and mutually enter into one another. So philosophers may desire to calculate the number of elements in terms of cause or effects according to their personal desire, and thus arrive at different tools. Now here you see, you might wonder, why is this verse connected here? This is again, this is when Uddhava asked Krishna, why is there is a difference, disagreement between different philosophers on the total number of elements a living entity possesses. Some say it's 24 elements, some say 25, 26, 27, 28, and like that. So basically, Krishna says there is no contradiction in that, because some philosophers will connect different elements separately, and some they combine, because one element could be merged to another element. The example for us for this today's discussion is Atma and Paramatma. So Jnanis, they don't differentiate between Atma and Paramatma. So they count Atma and Paramatma not being separate, but only one element. So that's why their number is lower. Whereas others who differentiate they count two separately, so their number is higher actually, you know. So that is the main reason Śrīla Gosvāmī actually quotes this verse to again support the Atma and Paramatma. So there is a cause and effect, you know. When Paramatma is there, Atma is there. Right? Next moment. Next slide. So basically we are going to see three reasons, you know, for oneness. One, because of the energy and energetic. One is the possessor of that energy. So here Paramatma is the energetic, and the Jivatmas are the energies of Paramatma. So in that way, they are one. You know? And second reason that, so they are both used synonymously, you know. And that second reason here, the Jiva and Paramatma are one cannot exist without the other. So inseparability, here this text 42, inseparability and non-distinction, that means they are one and the same, they cannot be separated. The Jiva and Paramatma, both, there's a cause and effect relationship is there. There are due, these are due by virtue of their inseparability between energy and energetic. So if you say one is energetic, one is a possessor of energy, another is an energy, you cannot differentiate between one from the other. They cannot exist independent of each other. So it's due to their non-distinction with respect to their conscious nature. So both are conscious. There's another reason. They're both being conscious entities. There's a verse here, actually this is also from 11th canto, so this also Krishna speaks Uddhava. Purushar Ishwarayo Patra Na Vailakshanyam Arvapi Tad Anya Kalpana Patha Cha Jnanam Prakruter Gunaha. So there is not even a minute dissimilarity. So here see Krishna really emphasizes that fact. There is not even a minutest difference between Jiva and Paramatma in this body. To imagine that they are distinct from one another is needless. Moreover, jnana too is an intrinsic quality, guna, of primordial nature. That is, it is the nature of sattva. So, Maya has three gunas, sattva, raja, tamaguna, sattva guna, sattvam sanjayate jnana. You see that? So sattva guna gives the knowledge, jnana. So that is an intrinsic quality of the nature, the maya, primordial nature, you know, pradhana. So here clearly that we see that you cannot separate one energy and one being energetic, possessor of that energy. So that's the argument. And we saw the third argument that there is a both are conscious entities. There's a third reason. Okay, now we are going to see the difference also. Next one. So far we have seen three reasons between Jiva and Paramatma, beingness. Now we are going to see there is indeed a difference. The logic of distinction between Jiva and Paramatma. So here also Jiva Goswami brings quotes a reference from Srimad Bhagavatam. So for this desiring bhakti, so here he gives the verse, this is 3rd canto, 9th chapter, text 33. This is, I'm sure that it is spoken Kapil Dev to Mata Devahuti, where he is describing the creation. So here Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, pleased with Brahmaji's tapa and austerities, so he is instructing Brahmaji, he initiates the Chatushtaka Bhagavatam verse and then he gives this instruction. So here in this verse is pointing out the difference actually. Yada rahitatmana yada rahitam atmanam bhutendra guna shayi swarupena mayopetam pashyan swaraj vrichati. On recognizing the self to be devoid of the five gross elements, the senses, the gunas, and the inner receptor of thoughts and feelings, and simultaneously as accompanying it, it is pure true self-identity, but it is the sovereignty. So you see that there is a pure soul who is completely devoid when it's not embodied. Remember Jiva and Atma? Jiva and Atma is pure soul, not bound. But when Jiva, Atma becomes embodied, so then becomes Jiva, the Atma becomes Jiva, then he takes the covering of the five gross elements and the three subtle elements, Mano, Buddhi, Ahankar, and so on, like that, and the three modes of material nature, all these things, you know. So then in that way, he is different from Bhagavan, you know, because Bhagavan is not affected, Paramatma is not affected by the three modes of material nature. So there's a distinct difference. So that's a primary difference, a fundamental difference, that between Jiva and Paramatma, they're distinct in the sense that one, Jiva, becomes bound by the three modes of material nature, Maya, whereas Paramatma does not come under magic. So in fact, Paramatma controls Maya. Yeah. Now we are going to see the third thing that in great detail. So very clearly you see the distinctness. Again, the primary difference is that Jiva comes under the influence of Maya, whereas Paramatma does not. Maya, Paramatma in fact controls Maya. And then remember in the previous verse when we saw the Brahmana, who is the none other than Paramatma, instructing the Jiva, the King Purajana, now is a woman. So second difference is that one instructs the other. So it can't be same. If they are both same, well, how can one instruct the other, you know? In fact, that's another refutation of Maya, the philosophy. They consider Maya, Jiva and Paramatma being the same. But here, that if it is the same, how can one instruct the other? You know? So that's the second difference. Next point. As I told you, this lesson is straightforward, quite simple and straightforward. Some are very, very complex philosophy. It's very difficult. That's the third thing which you are going to begin. It is indeed quite difficult. A lot of philosophies, they're deep philosophy. And that is the reason why Jiva Goswami actually warns us right from the very beginning. In the introductory class, I told you that. He said that you know, you had to be very attentive and persistent. And then you will get a reward also because of that. So Jiva is not a part of Bhagavan, who is here referred to as Shuddha or pure, directly. So by Paramatma, so this is like one of the quiz question also I gave you, that how is it that? So that is point here. As Krishna says that we are part of this part and parcel, the Jiva Goswami is not saved by showing this particular world. So is that a contradictory world? In reality, it's not actually. Because Jiva is not directly part, Jiva is indirectly part of Krishna. Directly, he is part of Paramatma. Paramatma is expansion. So A is equal to B, B is equal to C, so A must be equal to C. That's what it is. And Paramatma is being situated within the cosmos, is endowed with both Jiva Shakti and material nature. So this completes the explanation of the 21 characteristics of the Jiva listed by Japatamuni. That was in text 19. So that completes that now. So Jiva Goswami now establishes that a Jiva is conscious, real, eternal, and part of Paramatma. It is inherently endowed, just to know, we have this inherent capacity, remember that. Even though under Maya's influence, when we accept this body, material body, Maya covers our knowledge. That's true. But that, so if we regain our knowledge, then we can become aware of who we are. And that is by actual experience. So this refutes the Mayavadi notion of being one. However, Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures do establish oneness of the Jiva with Paramatma. That is so clearly. Text 48, 42, then 43, 44 shows the distinctness. So both oneness and separateness and distinction also there. Veda, Veda Tattva. Next one. Okay, the non-difference between the two are for the, so question that now arises, and that's one of the quiz questions I gave you, that how come scriptures describe seemingly contradictions now, oneness as well as distinction? So it depends upon the speaker, you know, who is, so oneness is preferred by the jnanis, but devotees, no, because devotees, otherwise there is no question, no, there is no issue of devotion involved there. Because devotees know that Paramatma or Krishna is superior, we are subordinate souls, we surrender to him, you know, devotion. So that's why, you know. So three reasons given in text 37 are reminded by Jivan Goswami in text 41 to account for such non-difference, because the Jiva is the potency of Paramatma. Sometimes the two are described as being without distinction or oneness, because there are these three reasons. No difference between energy and energetic. They are used synonymously, interchangeably. And then energy cannot exist without its energetic source. Second reason. Third reason, both energy and energetics are of conscious nature. Both are conscious entities. And the two reasons that are distinct, what are they? Primary reason that Maya, we are Jiva Atma is under the control of Maya, this Paramatma is not. Atma controls Maya. Secondary reason. So now you know that that remains inscription being inscribed in your mind now. Simultaneously oneness and difference. Two reasons for being difference and three reasons being oneness. So Jiva Goswami in text 41 goes on to discuss the cause and effect as an explanation of the first reason, for no difference between energy and energetic. And text 42 he proceeds to explain the second and third reasons. Next one. Next slide, please. So Jiva Goswami had already explained in text 37 the reason why scriptures describe the Jiva sometimes as one with Paramatma and sometimes as distant from him. We saw that jnanis prefer that they are oneness, and the devotees like that there is a distinct difference. Such contrasting instructions are actually intended for the Brahma jnanis, oneness, and two devotees of the Lord. They want to see that there is a distinctness is there. Because we come under the influence of Maya, the Paramatma doesn't. 33 that we saw that earlier was spoken, that is Garbhodakshina Vishnu, you know, speaking to Brahma, instructed to Brahma. The very first living entity at the dawn of new cycle of creation, based on the Lord's Tattva and not in the oneness, clearly established superiority of bhakti over jnana. So it was. Here Lord himself points out the difference, you know. So that's a point, of course Lord also showed before, there's one is Krishna, there's two Adhu Uddhava. So we have to understand that, you know. But here, the context, here Garbhodaksha Vishnu, Krishna himself speaking to Brahma, because Brahma is serving him on the devotional platform. He performed the and devotion to the Lord actually. So here there is a Lord and his devotee, that kind of interaction, the dialogue is taking place. So that's why the distinction comes into play. Alright. Next slide. So I think it's text 44. So now this is lesson 8. We already saw that in covenant next moment. It's like
two times.
So this is not exposed. 44. Yes, correct. Thank you. So what is Lord's distinction? As he states below to Uddhava, the jiva is drawn to the illusory ports. So now Krishna himself also says that distinction now to Uddhava. Now, does it that? Excuse me, bassist. Can you go back, please? Can you go back to the slide? So this is the verse from 11th canto, 22nd chapter, text 10. Previous slide, please. So here the verse, anadi avidya yuktasya, anadi avidya yuktasya, purushasya atma vedanam, svato na sambhavat, svato na sambhavat, anyas tatvatnya, tatvatmo, nado bhavet. So you see, anadi, so this ignorance we have because of Maya's influence, it's from time immemorial. This is another prescript that we need to remember. This is beginningless. Cannot say when it began. So when there's a beginning, there's an end, right? When there's no beginning, there's no end to it. You know? So this anadi avidya, anadi means it's beginningless. The self-relation for the jiva who is settled with beginningless ignorance is not possible by own efforts. We cannot become free by our own efforts, svato. Svato means by our own self. Svato na sambhavat. It's not possible to become free from that. Only when others who are tatvagna, who are nor of the self-realization, nor of the truth, tatvagna, they can nado bhave, they can give us the jnana. That's only possible by that way. So very clearly he says, by our own efforts it's not possible. So one who is tattva jnani, or self-realized souls, who can instruct? So Paramatma can instruct, but does instruct jivas. Paramatma is always giving instruction from within, actually. So Sridhar Swami actually comments, knowledge of the self is not possible by one's own endeavor. You cannot just study Srimad Bhagavatam by yourself and study like that, you know. You need a guru to explain to you, you know.
A guru.
Everybody can do that. Possible. One who is completely shackled, how is he going free unless someone else frees him? So this is like that. So Sridhar Swami says, knowledge of the self is not possible by one's own endeavors, svataha. Rather, it is possible to be received from another. Therefore, the omniscient Paramatma is distinct, anya, from one's own self, svataha, the jiva. This is the intention of this philosopher, those philosophers who accept these 26 elements. That's how, you know. So one who says 26 elements, they say the Atma and Paramatma are distinct, actually. Alright? So here we see clearly another reason. This is the reason we know that. Explanation of further, you know. The solution to that. Okay. Next one, please. So jiva can only be protected from Maya's three modes of material nature through his total dedication of thought, feeling, will and intention. We need to think about it, we need to feel, and we need to have will, determination, and we need to have attentiveness. Remember that? All these qualities are required for us to receive in knowledge, true knowledge, from one who is knowledgeable. So that is very important for us. These qualities must have. So there is a clear distinction between jiva and paramatma. So in the second part of this text 44 that we saw that, swato na sambhava. Explain the differing viewpoints, the various scholars under the influence of Maya. So here Jiva Goswami also points out that those who are ignorant, they are obviously under the influence of Maya. That's why they have this differing kind of philosophy. A possible doubt to the fact that Jiva is not identical to Paramatma may be raised in this Canto 11, text 19, chapter 19, text 17. So here, those gyanis, they point out this particular verse actually. But here Jiva Goswami refutes, and he's saying that the word vikalpa in that verse, simply interpreted by the Mayavadis, actually the vikalpa, there are two meanings. Vikalpa means the alternates. Well, vikalpa here, Jiva Goswami interprets in this particular context, is actually being the doubt. So he explains the word vikalpa here means doubt. Thus the insight gained from the four pramanas, one is freed from doubt about the nature of reality. So bhakti is superior and recommended path, unlike that of jnana as recommended by these verses, the earlier verses 17 and 18. So in text 19, Krishna makes clear to Uddhava in that sense. Alright, so here Jiva Goswami actually claims, because similar verses are quoted by Mayavadis also, but here, those Advaitavadis, extreme Advaitavadis, radical Advaitavadis. Okay, next one. So here now, text 9 now. So now we are, I'm sorry, lesson 9, text 45, 46, 47. So now Jiva Goswami is going to try to us some additional characteristic other than 21 characteristics that we already saw. So here he cites four verses by Jamata Muni describe the intrinsic characteristics of the Jiva. He then discusses each of them with reference from Srimad Bhagavatam, subsequent text that we already saw. So to conclude his analysis of Jiva Tattva in text 45, he now quotes three verses spoken by Lord Kapiladev to Mother Devahuti and shows that they coincide with Jamata Muni's description. So he substantiates what Jamata Muni has said. So here is this verse. So it's a full verse in Sanskrit. I'm just giving you the translation. So when the mind is purged, becomes free of its impurities like lust and greed. Remember, lust and greed comes karma krodha lobha mad moha matsara, comes from the mode of passion and ignorance, the lower modes. So which arises from identification with I and mind, this undesirable I consciousness. Remember I told you before, the desirable aham tattva on based on a spiritual identity, and then there is aham tattva based on bodily conception of life. That is not desirable. So this lust and greed arises because that is bodily platform. This mode of passion and ignorance is due to the body, physical body. So it becomes pure, indifferent to pleasure and pain, and equipoised. Then the conscious being perceives itself as manit, as being material nature, perpetually self-effulgent, atomic, and indivisible. So it basically describes the characteristics of Jivatma. Being endowed in the self-knowledge, a self with knowledge and dispassion, as well as with devotion, it sees itself in all aspects. So it tells you how to become, how to receive the knowledge properly. And that is what comes with devotion and surrendering process. It sees itself in respects of unattached and material nature as having lost all power over. Then material nature cannot affect us anymore. So that's what Kapiladeva is telling Mother Devahuti. How to become free, how to regain our knowledge, how to become free from Maya's influence. So, next point is the... So now, in text 46, Jiva Goswami additionally cites two more verses spoken by Prahlad Maharaj to his classmates, the sons of demons, which further corroborates Jamata Muni's description of the Jiva's characteristics. And here are those two verses. The Atma is eternal, imperishable by nature, pure, unitary, the knower of the field, the shelter without any modifications, and self-witnessing. We saw all these characteristics. It was pervasive, unattached, without any covering. By virtue of these 12 transcendental attributes of the self, a wise person should give up the false notions of I and mine, which are again based on bodily platform, which are the product of delusion rooted in the identification of the body and things led to it. With this, Prahlad Maharaj actually echoes the very same thing that we heard earlier. This is from the 7th canto, 7th chapter, verse 19-20. So Jiva is indeed the subtle energy of Paramatma, that it is superior to inert matter, conscious, eternal, changeless. Right from the beginning we saw that Jivatma is conscious entities. It does not change. Body changes, but not the soul. That it possesses intrinsic energy, agency, knowledge, experiential qualities, capacity, those three special characteristics that Jamata Muni actually described. The knower, self-awareness, the doer, and the enjoyer. So here it just gives the different words actually. The knowledge, experiential capacity, that means you get experience by doing something, right? And that is the pronoun I. Despite, however, it is prone to delusory influence of Maya. So we are prone, and that's why we are Tatastha Shakti. Jivatma is Tatastha Shakti. So it doesn't mean marginal. It either comes under the internal potency or goes to the external potency in between, oscillates. Next one. So now text 47. So now, having described that, Jiva Goswami talks about these two groups of jivas. Next one. Right. So in this, this is a concluding section on the Tatastha Shakti of the jiva. Jiva Goswami describes it into two groups. So jivas fall into basically two groups. One was the eternally liberated souls. They are fully awareness of the Lord and are wholly devoted, wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord. Liberated souls. They are turned towards Krishna, where the other were eternally bound. Now, those existing in the material creation were under the influence of Maya. Those are not devoted to the Lord, their material birth is only Prabhupada. And there, that means they are turned away from. One is Unmukha, Unmukha means towards Krishna, and one is Parana Mukha, that's turned their face away from Krishna. You know? And because of Maya's influence, Maya takes us away from Krishna. So here, actually, Jiva Goswami quotes this verse, spoken by the Vedas personified in their prayers. So Vedas personified prayers to Paramatma says, no generation of Prakriti or Purusha ever takes place because they are both birthless. Rather, the coming into existence of the embodied living being is like the appearance of bubbles on the surface of water, occurring only when the two are conjoined together. During dissolution, they enter into you, the Supreme, with all their various names and attributes, just as rivers enter into the sea, or just as the nectar of unlimited numbers of flowers dissolve in honey. So this is what Vedas are praying to Paramatma in his glorification. You know. So both Prakriti, material nature, in the jivas, they're both beginningless, birthless. And they, so what happens during dissolution, during annihilation, both material nature and the jivas, they go in the body of Mahavishnu, the Paramatma. Remember, Mahavishnu is the Paramatma of aggregate of all the universes. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is the Paramatma of one particular universe. And Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is Paramatma of individual souls, right? Yes, we just have to make sure we understand that. So, this is the summation now. What points we covered, take home points. Summation of entire, so far what we covered on Jiva Tattva, text 19 through 47. So, Jiva is the knower of the field of action, Kshatragna, as we saw in the theme 1. Paramatma is the supreme knower, he knows all the bodies, but the Jiva knows only his body, and that also not confounding. But nonetheless, he is the witness of his activities, bodily activities. Paramatma is also Kshatragna, but he is the knower of all the fields of all bodies. We covered in theme 1, the ontology of Paramatma, but here with reference to the Jivas. So Paramatma is a primary Kshatragna because it does not depend on anyone else. The Jivas depend on Paramatma. So Jiva is an integrated part of Paramatma's intermediary potency, that is, marginal potency. Intermediary between internal and external potency. So Jiva is ever Paramatma, both in its conditioned state as well as liberated state. The Mayavadi notion that Brahman alone is real, that Jivas are merely product of Brahman's conditioning by Maya, is not supported by scripture. That very clearly Jiva Goswami demonstrated. Mayavadi says the Jiva, when Paramatma comes under the influence of, see here Paramatma himself, the Lord himself, they say comes under the Maya's avidya potency, and then becomes Jiva. And Jiva when becomes Brahman realized by the knowledge of Vedanta, then they become Ishwara. So that is clearly refuted by Jiva Goswami by showing that there is a distinct difference between Jiva and Paramatma. What is the distinct difference, primary difference? Jiva does come into the Maya's influence, but Paramatma does not. Unlike what the Mayavadis say that, Paramatma cannot. Otherwise, what is his argument? Otherwise, how, if both are same, how one can instruct the other one, point number 7. So, point number 7, the next slide. So, Jiva is atomic in size, eternal conscious witness of the pronounced I, endowed with agency, knowership, and experiential capacity. Those three things I keep again mentioning again and again. So, you should remember that. Those three special characteristics from the 21 that I was told you before. One is that he is the jnana, self-awareness. Second, he is the doer, experiential. Third, he is the bhoktara, he is the enjoyer. So knower, enjoyer, and imperishable and free of all modification, immutable. So there is a distinct jiva in each of the distinct jiva, that means it's the individuality. We all are individual souls. That clearly tells you that we are separate souls from separate in each body. And what happens in dissolution, when annihilation takes place, the conditioned jivas remain within the body of Paramatma along with their karmic inheritance, daiva. So that is their karmas. So that is stored in the Mahavishnu, who is also Paramatma, aggregate of all the universes. So there are two groups of jivas that we also saw, point number 10. One is the eternally liberated souls. They turn towards Krishna, towards the Lord, towards Paramatma, whereas the one who is eternally conditioned, they are away from Krishna. That is their main problem. So one is a Nitya Mukha and another one is the Nitya Baddha. And this is from beginningless bondage. remember that. In memorial. So Nityabandha jivas can become liberated though. Even though it's an eternal liberated, it's a relative term actually, you know. As long as then they remain under the influence of Maya, then they remain eternally. But when they become free from Maya by turning towards Krishna in devotional service, then they become liberated by surrendering into Bhagavan. So that concludes this particular theme, second theme. So we completed both theme one and quizzes for this lesson 7 through 9 also. And next week we will have a special class and reviewing. So a special class just totally devoted reviewing both themes 1 and 2. What I'll do, I will go again through all those quizzes right from lesson 1 through all the way to lesson 9. So that it be superimposed, you know, and remain in our memory bank. So I'll stop here and hopefully, you know, prepare for some questions, you know. If you ask questions, more knowledge will be revealed. You know. So I'll stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Hare Krishna. Overall, I understand in many places what the Mayavadis say are also correct, but these are not the complete information as they are half truths. It is not that Shankara did not understand, but he deliberately bewilders the jivas as directed by the Lord. Yes. You are right. In fact, Lord Shiva tells Padma Purana to Mother Parvati because this Shankaracharya is an incarnation of Lord Shiva. So Lord himself instructed Lord Shiva to incarnate as Brahmana and give this kind of false knowledge to bewilder the demonic minds. That verse actually I quoted, I gave you earlier, you know, one of the lessons. So you're right. Well, they have truth in the sense, part of it, but in many ways they are totally wrong also, as we saw that. The biggest untruth, biggest lie, biggest, in fact, offense they commit by saying that even Brahman comes under the influence of Maya's avidya potency. That is the greatest offense that they are saying. That means Krishna can also comes under the influence of Maya. So when Krishna descends in the material world, he becomes conditioned also. Of course, he is conditioned by the mode of goodness, you know. But nonetheless, he does. So this is totally wrong. Lalita Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Lalita Priya Mataji, since I missed two classes, I'm just a bit confused on the distinction between Jiva and Atma. Is Jiva the being and Atma only the pure soul? No. Both are. See, when we say, yeah, you're talking about pure soul, the individuality. So Atma is the soul. That soul when becomes embodied, when soul accepts material body, then they become bound, they become conditioned by the Maya's influence, because the body is part of material nature, you know. So that is the difference. Where Jiva, pure soul, Atma is pure soul that is unbound, free, pure. So both are individuals, but one becomes conditioned, other is not conditioned, other is free. That's the main difference. Is that okay, Lalita Mataji? hope it's clear. So constitutively we are pure souls actually, no? And not only when, even when we get married, we still have inherent capacity to become pure, to become free. So we have that capacity, even though our knowledge becomes covered by Maya. And there are two kinds of covering, internal and external, Anta and Bahir. In fact, that is the verse, one of the verses quoted actually, and I can give you that. That says that the internal covering is the cause, and the external covering is the effect, you know. That's the main difference. So that is there when we become conditioned by the Maya. So what is the, so that Jiva has gross body, yes, correct, gross and subtle body both. But Atma is totally free. So, but even when it's covered by gross body and subtle body, so in that sense, the Jiva is bound, conditioned, right? But what Jiva Goswami is saying, he still retains the inherent capacity to receive the knowledge. That means this knowledge was covered by Maya, it can be uncovered by getting the knowledge. From what we saw that, by not by his own efforts, sataha, but sataha na sambhavat, but by Anya Tattvagna, that means some other person, Paramatma, who is the self-realized soul, Paramatma, or self-realized souls, they impart this knowledge and then we become free. So even this within embodied body, we become free, it's called Jivan Mukta, you know. So that is one nice thing about it. We still retain that inherent capacity. So that is one of the 21 characteristics of the soul. So that is very comforting to know. Thank you, Mataji. Any other questions? You have plenty of time. And we will, again, next week, as I said, we'll have a review class. So you know, go through all the quizzes and we will cover that. And if you have more questions at that point, please be prepared, you know, and I'll try my best. Makaranta. Can we say the term Jiva refers to the Maya influenced by Atma? Term Jiva refers to the Maya influenced Atma. Yeah, that's what it is. When Atma is covered, bonded to Maya's influence, then becomes Jiva. Gokul Priya Mataji. Prabhuji, Madhvacharya with two fingers up says, Jivatma and Paramatma are never one. Absolutely. That is what we are also saying. Gauri Vaishnava philosophy also says the same thing. Jivatma and Paramatma are never one. Now, what we are saying, Gaudiya philosophy, is Jiva Goswami says, we are both. That is the distinction of this speciality, uniqueness of Gaudiya philosophy, that we have this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Achintya Veda Abheda Tattva, simultaneous oneness and difference. So that makes us different. We never say never again. Remember that. So here, Jiva Goswami clearly his point shows and gives the proof from Srimad Bhagavatam that there is a oneness as well as distinction between Jiva and Paramatma. So that may be different from Madhvacharya, even though we are part of that. You know? So we are called Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. So Brahma Sampradaya, Lord Brahma Sampradaya, and one of the branch is Madhva Sampradaya, but then we differ from that. That regard. Thank you, Mataji, for pointing out that. So we do differ from them. And because of that, remember, this achintya bheda bheda tattva, simultaneous oneness and difference, which is inconceivable. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, but actually coined this word bheda bheda tattva is coined by Jiva Goswami. Any other questions? Okay, if they're not, I thank you very much. First of all, I'm very encouraged by very good attendance today.